All right, let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Timothy. I can't really let Madison drink my drink because it's caffeinated, electrolytes, energy water. Girl, 2-month-old AJ. But this morning, I'm glad to be here with you. I came here. I was supposed to come here in May. It was Mother's Day, and then I don't think Pastor Sam or somebody told me that you guys were having a combined service, and then I guess I wasn't invited to preach the combined service. You guys had some fancy, amazing thing for your mothers, so praise the Lord. Originally, Pastor Jim Chang had invited me, so I actually have met him and sat down with him at T4. I think in Milpitas or Fremont somewhere, and talking about ministry and what he was doing, and I'm not sure where Pastor Jim is right now, but I'm praying for him that the Lord would provide for his family. All right, let's turn to God's Word this morning. Let's see if this clicker works. There we go. Oh, they're just the kids. So on the left there, that is MJ. It's 2014. So that's the one walking around right now. She's walking now. And there's AJ. She's just with Mama right now. And she's just born a couple months ago. And you can see that Mama and Dada were wearing the same shirts. So nothing much has changed except the children are growing and growing and growing. That's it about the kids. Just that you love some cute pictures. Everybody loves cute pictures. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Our church at Bay Area Chinese Bible Church, we've been going through a series in our English congregation about finishing well the race that God has set before us. And so I want to draw our attention to this important theme of being faithful to the Scriptures. So I will begin by reading in chapter 3, verse 1. The word of the Lord reads, "But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth. Men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. But they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all as that of those two men." Verse 10. "You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and what you have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray for the message this morning, that God would focus our hearts on him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank you, Father, Lord, that you gather us this morning into the house of God. And even as you dwell anywhere and everywhere where your believers, your faithful followers are, Lord, there is a special experience that you give to your people when we gather as the covenanted body in your local church. And so this morning we join in with all the tribes and nations and tongues, those faithful Christians around the world, including Uzbekistan. We gather with our hearts united together, focused on Christ. And this morning, as this community of faith, we sit under your word, Lord, may you speak to us and transform our hearts. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a power to having a following. I don't know if any of you can see on the screen a few of these people here. They have a massive amount of followers. You don't necessarily need to know who they are, but you can add up the potential reach of these so-called celebrities. Selena Gomez, 124 million followers. Ariana Grande, 111 million. Kim Kardashian West, 108 million. And there's one gentleman, Cristiano Ronaldo, 107 million followers. And together, wow, that they have almost like half a billion people following their posts on Instagram. Now, some of you, if you're not familiar with Instagram, it's a social media app where you can post photos of your cute kids, dog, or your favorite pizza, or T4 bubble tea, and you can share it with your friends and see how many people buy what you're buying or like what you're drinking. And it is just really interesting that in our day and age, it is so easy to follow people that we do not know. People we have never met face to face, and yet they could have such a powerful influence on our lives. You can think of the little boys who imitate superheroes at a young age. Young kids who are growing up and want to be like their favorite athlete. Little girls with their hairbrush standing in front of a mirror, emulating their favorite singer. I could go on. Even in the Christian world, Christians all over the U.S. buy up tickets to their favorite worship concert of their favorite worship leader. This power of following means there is this power of influence and a power of example. And regardless of whether or not these people on the screen there, whether or not they intended to be an example and influence others, it just naturally happens. We all observe this power of following. And yet one of the most powerful forms of following and persuasion is the power of the spoken word. Right? It's even more powerful when someone posts a video of what's going on, and maybe they're talking in that video and saying something of persuasion. And here this morning in 2 Timothy chapter 2, we can see this thing at work, this persuasion, this power of influence and of example. The Apostle Paul, he had both the power of the spoken word and just the power of his embodied presence. His life, his teaching explained his life. His life exemplified his teaching. He both lived and did what he said, and so it was an example to all who would follow him, just as Paul followed Jesus. And so Paul here is telling Timothy to really follow me and don't follow those ungodly ones. So this morning, it's really threefold, right? There's 3 points: flee, follow, and persevere. We must flee from the faithless or the godless. Follow the faithful, the Godward, and persevere in God's word. So let's walk through that this morning. The first point here, flee from ungodly examples. The text tells us in verse 1, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. Now that's a pretty cool theological term, in these last days, right? We are, if you've noticed, we're still in the last days. Still in times of difficulty. Of all the discord and brokenness in our world, in our city. Alameda, we just had a recent vandalism at the local Jewish temple. In this window in Alameda of the Jewish temple where the kids, you know, they drew up the Star of David. The window was smashed. Somebody with a rock. And then another window with the word a new creation smashed. They don't know who. But a couple Fridays ago, the pastors of Alameda would come together and pray with other people of faith in the Jewish community, because we are in times of difficulty and we desire peace in our community. And this time of difficulty, it will not end until Jesus Christ returns. And the text tells us why these times are so difficult. Why are these times so difficult, these last days? Well, they are difficult because of people, right? People are selfish and corrupt. We see this in verse 2. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant. I could read this long list again. But notice here, it's a sandwich. A sandwich in which, in the middle, kind of describes a few of these two things. And it's a polarizing thing. And it speaks of affections, right? Either you are a lover of yourself or you are lovers of God. And I don't know if that speaks to you, but it really spoke to the people in Paul's day and the people in Timothy's church. They struggled. They had issues with self-control. Anybody here have issues with self-control? Okay, we have peace. This is amazing. My church did not confess that. I've got issues with self-control. Right? You can ask your parents about which of these issues do you struggle with? Do you think, Mom and Dad, I have issues with? Just come on. Unload. Give it to me. I want to grow in being a Christian. Lovers of self, that speaks of narcissism or selfishness. Lovers of money and all the things of this world we call materialism. Lovers of pleasure. The big word for that is hedonism, right? The lover, loving just the fact and the feeling of being pleased in and of itself. I love John Piper, Pastor John Piper. He wrote a massive book that really kicked off his writing ministry and his pastorate, and he was shaped by this concept of Christian hedonism. In his book, Desiring God, one of my favorites, going through seminary, I just read it for devotions, and he contrasts the hedonism of this world and the love of pleasure, and he wanted to redeem that with a Christian perspective, in that we can be Christian hedonists, in that we can be lovers of God, who would be not satisfied with this world, but be satisfied by God. And that is what Paul is driving at. Don't follow these selfish and corrupt people. What else? The text tells us that these people, their godliness is a fake. And we all know about what it means to be fake. All this fake news, huh? Godliness that is fake is even worse, right? These false teachers Paul speaks of that have been kind of seeping in to the local churches there, Timothy's local church even, having the appearance of godliness, verse 5, but denying its power. Avoid such people. Now, Paul is not saying that we should avoid all these sinners in the world. He's not saying that, because otherwise it doesn't make sense when Paul tells us that we must be preaching Christ and preaching the good news to all people, right? First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. But there are specific teachers that Paul refers to whose external practices of religion show that they appear to be moral, yet they are internally godless. These religious fakes, they lacked spiritual power and even denied spiritual power. They refused to believe the gospel. They refused to believe in Christ, and so they rejected him. They rejected the power of God that could save and sanctify them or anybody, anytime, anywhere. And so apart from this good news that we ought to believe in, this Christ that we should live for, these specific false teachers, their religiosity that they practice is a shame and a dead religion. Some commentators believe that they were following Greek philosophy's rejection of the bodily resurrection. So the Greek philosophy that there is no physical resurrection that is possible. All there is this body, it lives and it dies, and there's nothing spiritually eternal. And so what they end up doing is they end up abandoning this amazing, robust hope that we have. Now, the trouble is, I got to say, some of us, we kind of fall into that trap, right? If we live in the Bible Belt of the Bay Area, I don't know if there's a Bible Belt in the Bay Area, but I feel like there's a Chinese Bible Belt in the Bay Area. Do you know what I'm talking about? There's like, the home of Christ churches, Chinese for Christ churches, CCIC, CIBC, and, whatever you guys are, right? 4C, right? And we all desire to plant churches to reach the Asian community for Christ. And it's so easy that we can assume the gospel for ourselves. And when there are preachers that come and teach about, Daniel or something, and it's like, that is a good spiritual lesson about how God can deliver you. It may not be a historical reality, but God can still deliver you from your spiritual demons. And what just happened there in one sentence is that they denied the historicity and the actuality of a biblical event. And somehow they could think that we can still derive a spiritual lesson from a fake biblical event. Right? It's so easy to assume the gospel or assume that the Bible is true and yet gloss over it. We got to deny these people of their time, these false teachers who speak such falsehood. I could go on, but the text tells us more. Flee from these people. Their evangelizing is evil rather than good. For among them, verse 6, are those who creep into households and capture weak women burdened with sins and led astray by various passions. Okay, that is not speaking of all women, right? But there were specific women that they preyed on and attacked. And this is the situation, right? Their method is that they would creep in. And these women, so in those days, that the women were, right, less educated because they were given less opportunity for theological, doctrinal, Christian education, right? These days, we would find that ridiculous, right? There ought to be equality of education and learning and religion and spiritual things for all people, and yet they captured these women. And I love that word, capture. I mean, I don't love that word, but it's crazy because it's used in a military sense, right, whereby you can just go in and take prisoner of war of somebody. And these false teachers, they always learn and yet are never able to arrive at a knowledge of truth. And it is my prayer that we would never be such a Christian, not in the Bay Area, not in California. We need to learn. We need to discuss. Friday night, I had a long theological conversation with one of our college students in our college ministry, and he hadn't been to fellowship for a while, and he just finished community college. He's a very sharp man in terms of his theology, and he was asking me all sorts of fun questions about what did I believe about unlimited or limited atonement. I'm like, if you really want to point a gun to my head, I'll tell you. But here's the thing, we can have all of those theological discussions about rapture and about Reformed theology, and yet if we're discussing and debating and if we never arrive at a true knowledge, a saving knowledge, a transforming knowledge of the truth, then our lives would not be shaped by the cross and shaped by the Word. And God desires us to be shaped by the good news of Jesus Christ, which is good and is out in the open. Right? Well, we evangelize in the open, and these false teachers, they evangelized through the back door. I could say more, but the text speaks of an example from Exodus. Exodus chapter 7, so that is where these two men are referred to in Exodus 7. Exodus 7, verse 11 and 12, they don't speak of them by name, but these are the two Egyptian sorcerers that Moses had opposed. They opposed Moses before Pharaoh. They tried to counterfeit Moses' miracles before Pharaoh. And Paul here explains that just as Moses has opposed these two false teachers and defeated them, God also would overthrow the false teachers that were plaguing Timothy's church. Many commentators believe that Timothy is ministering to the Ephesian church. So what's the point there? Keep on going. It's going to be okay. Just as God defeated those false teachers in the past, God would defeat these false teachers in your day and age. And so what's the application for us this morning? How are you aware of the godlessness around you? I wonder, for you, which of these temptations do you need to flee from the most? Is it this love of self, love of money and things, or the love of pleasure? Paul calls us to flee from what is ungodly. The second point here that is taken from our text is that we ought to follow godly examples. Right? The first thing we see is Paul's faith-filled living that we ought to follow. Paul says in verse 10, "You, however, have followed." Now, I think Paul is not being like a obnoxious parent, you know. You have followed, like poking at him as if I'm saying that you have followed, but in fact, this is what you have not done and you should do. I really think that Timothy has been a faithful man in his ministry. Maybe you and I have been faithful to follow a man like Paul. And he describes this. "You have followed my teaching, my conduct." So the things I speak, the way I live, my aim in life, my purpose for life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, all of which we can grasp, right? Pretty simple concepts here. Timothy has been around Paul for a while. That's what we do as people trying to follow the good mentors in our life, is that we just stick to them, right? Timothy has seen Paul's faithfulness in ministry. Faithfulness through opposition, when you are put down and stoned, opposition and discouragement and persecution for preaching Christ. Timothy has seen Paul's patience towards others, even young Christians or even immature and slow to grow Christians. You could think of 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Timothy has seen Paul's love for the churches he planted and pastored. Think of those Christians in Philippi or in Colossae, and there in Timothy's church in Ephesus. And what more, Timothy has witnessed Paul's steadfast endurance to keep on doing the hard work of missions, even when jailed, even when stoned, even when you seem to be deserted. And so even as Paul is jailed now, he is commending Timothy to follow his faith-filled living. So which of these virtues do you need most today? Maybe you need a godly example. Maybe you need a mentor, and you know her name or his name here in your church. And normally it's easy, right, when you are just by yourself, alone with your Bible, to do your devotions, and you can live out faith. You can live out patience, right? But when stuff starts happening, that's when rubber meets the road. That's when the true challenge of what it means to live the Christian life really comes to bear, right? When chaos starts ensuing, when the children start doing the weirdest, craziest things, and you are just trying to get a grasp of your day and not go crazy. Which of these virtues do you need most today? Pray that God would provide that for you, these virtues, these characteristics, and provide the people by which you can have a close relationship with and emulate them. I could go on, but the next point here is follow Paul's persecution for believing. He was persecuted, right? Now, Paul lists Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra for a reason, right? I believe that it stirred Timothy's heart because it connected with Timothy's life. Timothy was there. It was at Timothy's hometown of Lystra, where Paul had been stoned and left for dead. Acts chapter 14. So follow and remember Paul's persecution for believing and for evangelizing. And yet somehow the Lord rescued me from them all. And I think that just simply means a rescue from the immediate danger of death. And yet there's a hint here to Psalm 34, verse 19, and the wording there where it's David celebrating Yahweh's deliverance of him, David, from his enemies. Yet from them all, Yahweh rescued me. That's amazing. What else? In that midst of this persecution, there's a principle here, right? A principle for living. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Right? The overarching concern for Timothy, the overarching concern for Paul, is that we would live a godly life. Right? All of this Bible stuff and all this good-looking people who come to church on Sunday, it is important, yet it is useless, all this appearance. Useless if there's no godly life. Yet when you try to live that godly life, what is true of Paul, what is true of Timothy, what is true of Jesus Christ is that we will be persecuted for our faith. Right? So this is not easy believism. Right? It's definitely not easy to believe in the first place, as if we can just sign a card, walk an aisle, and raise a hand. And I don't mind altar calls. I was saved through an altar call. But it's not going to be easy. It's going to be joyful. It will be hard, but it will be worth it. It will be worth it. We will be persecuted. So follow godly examples. And here, third point. Persevere in the sacred scriptures. This will click, click. Verses 14 and 17, we're going to close with this. And this is kind of the climax of our passage. This is the coffee mug verse that you'll see, right? What is the most important thing to do here? The text says, keep on focusing on the Scriptures as if your life depended on it. And the purpose of the Scriptures we see here is that it provides for us two things from verse 15 and verse 17, in that there is wisdom for salvation and equipping for sanctification. Right? The purpose of sermons and all the stuff that I do in my work and in Pastor Sam's work of ministry is not that you would remember all 3 points of the sermons. Can I be honest? I don't even remember my own 3 points, right? But there's a thing that happens in the Christian life when you keep on doing this. As you continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, is that with time, with faith, with experience, it becomes more and more natural, right? It becomes more and more automatic in the midst of life. This Christian stuff that we keep on meditating on in the Scriptures becomes more and more natural and automatic. The purpose of the Scriptures to give us wisdom for salvation, equipping for sanctification. We see this in the passage, right? So continue in those words, continue, keep on doing what you have learned, what you have firmly believed, and you learned it from somebody, right? For Timothy, it's his grandparents, grandma, and mother. You have been acquainted with these sacred writings. I love the word writings there. It's different than the word scripture, but the writings speaks of the grammar, the grammar of the words that are sacred, and it's in this text which is holy, which is written down for us to be passed on to generations. And I love it because, you know, even though the Jews are an oral tradition type of culture, I love it that God had foresight in that we are stupid people. We're dumb, right? Moyong. And we need it. And I got to tell you, I write things down. I scribble in my Bible, not so that I can remember it later, really. I don't know if I'll remember it later, but I'm trying to write it down and scribble and underline just so I can remember it right now. Because in the moment, probably right now where you're sitting, I normally have pen and paper because otherwise I'm going to snooze and fall asleep. Right? Wisdom for salvation, able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. The sacred writings, I got to tell you, you got to get yourself a Bible if you don't already have a Bible. If you don't like the Bible you got because it's not cool, get yourself a better one. Can I say that? If it's just not working for you, do something to get it to start working for you. Start praying to God that, God, this same Bible that my mom has given me since I was in kindergarten, I need it. I need to be desperate with it. So just to walk through this, the nature of the Scriptures is that it's inspired and profitable. That's where breathed out by God is so important. Breathed out by God as in it is from the mouth of God, right? That's why there's that word of the breathing of God. And yet, the most important thing, not just that it is inspired by God and it's without error, everything that God has written to us is sufficient for our life, but it is profitable. And here, can I just use another minute of my time? I know my time is running out, but some of you do not think that God's word is profitable for you. And it shows up in the way that you don't use God's word. Right? When you struggle with something, whether or not be just, you know, self-control, where do you turn to? Are you just searching through your Facebook or Instagram feed and for some self-help article to get you through that? Some self-help guru or, I don't know, therapist, and you're just going to start following their posts online? Or will you search the Scriptures? And I'm not saying that those other things, you shouldn't look for some additional supplement, right? But the primary, ultimate rule, primary, ultimate authority, primary and ultimate help for you and I, it ought to be that it's profitable for you and me, the Word of God. So the text gives us four ways in which God's Word is sufficient for us, right? Four ways in which God's Word is useful and profitable and enough for your walk with God. So the text tells us the first way is for doctrine. For doctrine. The positive way in which our minds and our believing can be shaped, right, is the Scriptures are profitable for teaching. That's a positive way that we could be shaped. And for reproof, like correcting the false Christian news you got in your head. And for living, for correcting the ways you misbehave, and to challenge and encourage good ways of walking in righteousness. That's the positive. And the purpose of this, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I love that ending in verse 17 because it harkens us back to chapter 2, verse 21, where it speaks of the faithful messenger of God must be a clean vessel for God, right? Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel honorable for honorable use, set apart as holy. I want to be that person, that kind of a vessel. Useful to the master of the house. I want to be useful. And so you're ready for every good work. How can that be? How can you be a clean, useful, honorable vessel for God this week and today? You don't have to be a preacher, just you yourself in Castro Valley, in Hayward. How do you be useful? Persevere in the sacred Scriptures. They are going to make you complete. And I know sometimes it doesn't feel like it's working, right? When you read the Word of God, you just sometimes feel like, man, it's just not working out right now. And I'm reading God's Word, and nothing's magical happening. I'm looking for that mic drop moment, right? You're looking for that mic drop moment. I won't drop your mic. Don't worry. I'm also an AV. I know that these mics often cost $500, $600, $900. They're fancy. But we're all looking for that mic drop moment when we read the Scriptures, and yet, oftentimes, it doesn't happen. I got to tell you, when I first was studying this passage for preaching, there was no mic drop moment for me. It did not happen. It was actually a very difficult week with my kids, and I was just trying to dig down deep into God's Word, and I probably did not look that happy. In the midst of trying, I was asking the Lord, fill me with joy. And at the end of that sermon, I felt a little better, just that I was able to do something to encourage my congregation. And then I had to keep on going, keep on reading the next passage, and keep on preaching it. So that's my encouragement to you. Keep on persevering, even when the mic drop moment does not happen. But soon enough, there will be something that clicks, and you got to pray that it clicks. And so here, in closing, application, right? Let us be desperately desiring to be thoroughly equipped in the Word of God. There's a few pictures I'm going to show you just to close this, and I don't know if this is you, that you need to put on the headphones and listen to the Bible because you reading it in bed is not working. And I wouldn't encourage anybody to read their Bible in bed. The bed is a $1,000 piece of equipment that is designed to put you to sleep. You could spend an extra $500 and they will tell you it's designed to help you to sleep even better, more comfortably for your wife and for yourself. Maybe you got to put on the headphones. Maybe you got to be alone once in a while all by yourself outdoors. You got to drown out the busyness of the Bay Area traffic somewhere where there's no cell signal, maybe. Maybe you've done it alone and you need to be in community You need the Word of God in community, in Bible study, and you need someone to speak truth and ask you things about the text to really push you in your walk with God. Maybe if you're like me, you need a cup of coffee with it because you're falling asleep. Whatever you got to do, keep on doing and persevering in the Word of God. Let us pray this morning.